up, has the form in which the Canadians dealt with you in those negotiations by cutting off parts and other things for your reactor, has that created problems for you here in Pakistan?
Not yet. It has not created any problems for us so far, and we are taking care of the possible problems that might arise in the future.
Mr. Prime Minister, with your massive mandate behind you, presumably the reason for your retaining any emergency powers is because of external threats. And if that is so, what are these external threats?
Well, the point is that it depends also on the attitude of the defeated parties, because as I told you earlier, that if they take the constitutional road and accept the verdict of the people, that will be a good thing for the country and for the people. But if they come to some wrong conclusions and they try to enter into agitational politics, in that situation I cannot anticipate whether the emergency will merely be external or internal. Then we might have to cope with some problem internally, and I'm quite confident that we'll be able to cope with it successfully. I say this for the simple reason that if the elections had been manipulated, I could not have expressed this confidence, because there would have been a resentment in the people. But I know that this hasn't happened, so it's not going to evoke any response from the people by and large. Maybe from their limited electorate, they have also got votes, they've also received votes, quite a lot of the votes. Maybe from that side, but we can deal with that problem, but not by the people by and large. But who knows, you see, if there is such a problem. However, the question is of one of principle. Pakistan went to war with, India went to war with Pakistan, dismembered Pakistan, and India was the victorious country. India was the country which had the 90,000 prisoners of war. India was the country that took over East Pakistan, now Bangladesh. India had 5,000 prisoners of war, 5,000 square miles of territory, and all that. So if India does not deem it appropriate to lift the emergency vis-a-vis our Indo-Pakistan situation, it will be more difficult for Pakistan to lift the emergency.
Recently in an interview, the CENTO Paper Alliance. Do you share his views, or what are your views on the organization?
Well, you know very well, CENTO has not been very effective. And if the Shahenshah chooses to use the word as a paper alliance, I would say, well, it has not been very effective. It has not had any effectiveness. So basically, I share his view as much as the rest of the CENTO members. I think that there isn't a member country in CENTO which holds a contrary view.
Sir, your own colossal contribution to the election campaign is generally acknowledged as the prime factor in winning the election. I would like to know what is your impression about the party as it has functioned throughout the election.
No, I wouldn't take all that credit. I don't lose my head by seeing one procession. I don't call that procession the biggest in the subcontinent of India. I held a procession. I led a procession in Karachi, and yet we didn't win the seats in Karachi. So you see, these people who say, "Well, look at the number of people who went to the rallies and who went to the processions." If that is any index, well, I say my procession in Karachi was supposed to be the biggest ever that Karachi has seen. Well, the net result was that I got. My party got 2 votes out of 11 in Karachi. So that shows you the value to some extent of just processions per se. No, I would not make that tall claim. I know the people of Pakistan have been very kind to me. I said that at the beginning. I know that I have a deep and abiding faith in them, and they know that as well. There is a great rapport between me and them, for which I am very grateful. But the point is that how can I belittle the contribution of my party and my party friends, my ministers, members of the National Assembly, workers of the party, the rank and file of the party. I am most thankful to all of them for making a great contribution, because it was the unity of one party. It was the unity of the Pakistan People's Party, committed to a program, committed to a line of thought, against heterogeneous elements who were saying different things on different occasions, contradicting the manifesto they gave out towards the end of the campaign, contradicting themselves. So from that point of view, it was one party, in a sense, pitted against nine party and their workers. However, this one party came out victorious because of the contribution of all the members of the party. And my contribution was only one among the many.
Mr. Prime Minister, it looks like election results have vindicated your policy of normalization and improvement of the relation with India and Afghanistan, your closed-door neighbors. Do you expect or plan any major breakthrough in this field in coming, say, months or years?
Well, you know, we are committed to the policy of normalization with India, and we are also committed to the policy of improving our relations with Afghanistan. And as soon as we have got over some of these preliminaries, and that will take some time, meeting of the National Assembly, making of the government, making of the provincial governments, formulating policies, we would naturally like to continue the process with both countries.
A question dear to the heart of many journalists here. Now that you're safely back in power, can we expect the local press to have greater freedom and the opposition fairer coverage?
I told you that I'd be very happy that to promote greater freedom of the press. And with this, when I speak of consolidation, I speak of also democratic consolidation. That's very important.
Mr. Prime Minister, another thing which I think is in the heart of all the correspondents based here in Islamabad, would you be seeing them a little more frequently than you have done in the past?
No, I'd like to do that. I have taken you with me on a number of trips abroad, and then I've been accused of being very extravagant, and that I take too many people with me. When I go abroad, I take hundreds of people with me. You know, the point is that it's very strange. I do take a lot of people with me because, you know, I want them to see the world. I want to expose our people to the modern technological world. They're too much hidebound. They're too much looking inwards. And I do it as a process of education. I take a cross-section of the people. I don't take my friends and relations. I take lawyers. I take journalists, as you know. I take political party workers, I take men of letters, and others, sometimes even student leaders. And I want them to see how the progress Europe has made, the progress the United States has made. I want them to come back full of ideas, full of wanting to do things for Pakistan. Otherwise, how will they get to have these fresh ideas? They will be in their rut. They will not be able to expose themselves to a bigger vision, to bigger horizons. So it's from that point of view that, you know, that when we have been abroad, I so often call them over and say, now look at the progress. When we went to a number of countries, like for instance Sweden, look at the progress here, go and see their cooperatives and things like that. So it is for that purpose that I have done these things. And secondly, reminding me of the subject, I have not built any monuments and things like that of self-glorification. You have been misinformed. The thing is, I don't want a culturally barren country. You know, it's very important for a country to be culturally virile. It's vital to its whole being. And I am interested in architecture, but I'm interested in national architecture. I'm interested in seeing institutes come up, properly come up, and modern architecture in my country, and things of that nature. That's why I try to see that some of these places are improved, like Lahore and Karachi. They don't look like slums, and people don't come to Pakistan and say, oh, we've come to a dirty city, and we haven't, what's that, what has this place to show? And these monuments, two of them, one built for Ataturk, who was a great leader of Turkish nation, and whom our people admire a great deal, and the other built for Sukarno, who was the greatest romanticist I have known, and a great revolutionary. So we honor these people. And Sukarno had helped our country a lot in the 1965 war. It was unimaginable the kind of assistance he he gave Pakistan, in spite of Soviet protests. So if something costs 300,000 or 200,000 rupees, it's a very modest monument. But it's the idea, the thought, that we haven't forgotten your contribution. So you see, these things came into the campaign as if I had committed great sins. It's not that. Now, Mr. Pirala, would you for 5 minutes say what happened in Karachi, just for 5 minutes? Thank you very much. I should actually hear Mr. Pirala for 5 minutes.